Chapter 8, Body Injuries. We have already examined more than 50 cases of injuries to virtually all areas of the human body. However, here we come to the difficult task of trying to categorize UFO healings. In a number of cases, people experience multiple body injuries. If someone is healed of multiple broken bones, should these be considered separate healing events? Obviously not. For that reason, this chapter focuses on healings involving multiple body injuries. Even though multiple healings of different parts of the body take place, each case is treated as a single healing event. The vast majority of these 14 cases involve vehicle accidents of some kind, while the rest are the result of falls and injuries received from assault by other humans. In a few of the cases, the witnesses believe they died as a result of their injuries and were brought back to life by the ETs. The first case is a rare early case involving a healing within an army hospital. Case #009. Broken nose and bruises. In June of 1946, Alan Edwards was admitted. Admitted to an army hospital at Camp Lee, Virginia. One evening he wandered through the hospital seeking company when he spotted a very unusual-looking man. Struck by his odd appearance, Edwards walked across the room and sat down on the vacant bunk next to him. Edwards was an academically trained portrait painter, with a thorough knowledge of anatomy, and he instantly noticed several irregularities about the individual. The man had an extremely high forehead, perfectly formed features, unusually radiant blonde hair, a flawless complexion and extraordinary blue eyes filled with great compassion. Edwards stared at the man in fascination. Suddenly Edwards was overcome with a feeling of well-being to the point that he felt it was a spiritual experience just to be in the man's presence. Before he could investigate further, Edwards was called away for his own medical examination. Later that evening, he saw a young man being brought into the hospital for treatment. The young man had been beaten in a drunken brawl. He had two black eyes which were swollen shut, a badly bruised forehead, and his nose appeared to be broken. The man was put in the cot next to Edwards, who now had trouble falling asleep because of the man's loud groans of pain. The next morning, Edwards sat down for breakfast. He saw the strange-looking man on his right. Then he saw the boy who had been injured the night before, except now, he looked normal. All signs of his injuries were gone. Says Edwards, "My eyes rested on a young lad seated at the end of the table. This was the same boy who had been brought in the night before, the one who had been so badly beaten, yet, it couldn't be. There wasn't a blemish on his face. Who cured the boy? Edwards never found out for sure, but as he says, I felt strongly that the man seated on my right had been responsible for this miraculous transfiguration." Edwards had later contacts with the strange man and other ETs. In Seattle, Washington, Edwards says he was hospitalized for a respiratory ailment. He became curious about two normal and human-looking attendants who repeatedly proved their ability to read his every thought. While in their presence at the Seattle hospital, other strange things began to happen. Edwards says he felt compelled to get up and attend to the patients, performing a type of psychic healing. Healing. I found myself administering to them with expert hands which did not somehow seem to belong to me, he says. He was discharged shortly later, and always regrets that he didn't question the two strange hospital attendants further. One poignant example of an alien healing comes from the case files of Barbara Lamb. The healing occurred in the 1950s and involves a 4-year-old girl from the United States. The details were uncovered using hypnotic regression. Case #028. Genital injuries. She had an experience at age 4, says Lamb, where she was sexually abused by her grandfather, and there was actually physical damage done to her in her genital area because of that. And fortunately the act was stopped sort of in the middle by the grandmother who discovered them. Anyway, later on that afternoon, probably an hour or so later, this lady was taken by her little people, the little grey extraterrestrials, and taken aboard a spacecraft. And they did a sort of whole medical procedure on her, the little grey guys did. And there was a female, E.T., too, who was a little bit larger. And the female was standing by her side on the medical table on the craft. And the female was explaining that something was done here that should not have been done, and that the other ones, the little ones, were needed to fix this, to repair this. Because they wanted to be sure that everything would be fine in later years for having babies. Two, the following example of a UFO healing comes from an extraordinary contactee case. The healing took place in a very rural area with little exposure to the media. It's of particular interest because it illustrates how residents in this area have an interactive and benevolent relationship with UFOs, and apparently rely upon the ETs to provide medical care. Case #031. Body injuries. On March 10, 1960, Victor K. Petrovic, a Peruvian electrical engineer, was hunting with a local guide in the Colegio de Huaylas region, a rural area inhabited by native Peruvians. They were traveling through a local village when they came upon a family whose son had recently fallen from a cliff and now was apparently dying of his injuries. K. Petrovic was taken to see the child, who lay unmoving on the floor of the primitive hut. Says K. Petrovic, his swollen face had taken on a bluish color by the infections, his eyes half closed, his mouth half open, and with his tongue and lips swollen, he looked terrible. K. Petrovic was unable to detect any pulse and realized that the boy was in a comatose state. Although the closest hospital was many miles away, K. Petrovic offered to transport the child. The boy's mother angrily refused and explained that the gods from the sky would take care of her son. K. Petrovic's guide explained that the locals are often in contact with UFO beings, whom they called the sky gods. K. Petrovic had recently seen many of the strange discs himself and decided to stay and see if anything would happen. Shortly later, the sky suddenly filled with clouds. Without warning, the family began to shout and point. K. Petrovic looked and observed an apparatus similar to a small airplane drop out of the clouds and land silently among the herd of sheep and goats. He first thought it might be the Peruvian military until a door opened and a strange figure emerged. It was a female who looked entirely human, with white skin, except she was very short, and was dressed in a bodysuit unlike any K. Petrovic had seen. The strange figure floated toward them a few inches above the ground. K. Petrovic's guide and the entire Peruvian family dropped to their knees and began to pray. The figure told them to rise up. She entered the hut, scooped up the child and carried him into the landed craft. The door to the craft closed. After several minutes, the door opened. Says K. Petrovic, suddenly I saw the boy descend alone from the ladder of the ship, and upon touching the ground ran toward us, reaching down to pick up a stone, and thus showing his perfect state of health. Having seen him when he was swollen, I did not recognize him now and thought that he must be another boy, a member of the crew, perhaps. Then I waited for the reaction of the mother of the child. The little boy had not covered half the distance from the ship to us when his mother ran toward him shouting in emotion. All present embraced and gave shouts of joy. The ET woman also exited and spoke briefly with all those present. Kay Petarovic immediately approached the boy and began to examine him for injuries. Who knows how they affected this cure, said Kay Petarovic, but I could find no evidence of surgery on his arm. The boy showed no abnormality in his body. He spoke with the ET who said her name was Ivaka. She invited him aboard the ship where he saw other ETs, and was shown a screen which portrayed scenes of future events. Kay Petarovic later wrote a book about his experiences. 3 New Jersey Kotakti, Richard Rilke, has reported multiple healings at the hands of the ETs. His is one of many cases involving human-looking ETs and benevolent encounters. It is only one of a few cases, however, where someone was healed of otherwise fatal injuries. Case #051. Body injuries. In 1970, Richard Rilke of New Jersey suffered a devastating automobile accident. His body was so badly mangled, he had a near-death experience. While most people see deceased relatives when they have a near-death experience, Rilke saw his alien friends who told him that his body was so badly injured, he should be dead. They promised to heal him, and also warned him of drastic changes to his life at home and work. All the predictions made by the aliens came true. Rilke had already been healed twice. Future healings would later occur. 4 Swiss farmer, Eduard Meyer, is without a doubt one of the most famous UFO contactees. He claims to have had contact with human-like aliens from the Pleiades. Meyer's story is supported by a large amount of evidence, including moving films, photos, audio recordings, landing traces, metal fragments, animal evidence, medical evidence, and multiple eyewitness testimonies. Nevertheless, the case is extremely controversial. Meyer, like most contactees, has been instructed by his alien friends to tell others of his contacts. For this reason, Meyer has reported his experiences publicly. Like many contactees, Meyer, as we shall see, has received a number of healings. Case #074. Body injuries. On April 3, 1976, Eduard Meyer of Hewil, Switzerland, was instructed by the aliens to travel to a certain location where a flight demonstration of the alien crafts would take place. Meyer was told that he could bring his friends and also take photographs. Unfortunately, the group was followed by unwanted human visitors who caused the demonstration to be cancelled. Meyer was instructed telepathically by the aliens to depart the area. As he was leaving, he was pursued by the unwelcome visitors. In his haste to escape, he crashed his moped, damaging not only his moped, but himself. Meyer fractured a rib, dislocated his shoulder, twisted his foot, and suffered several abrasions. 3 days later, Meyer was visited by his main ET contact, Semjace, who offered to cure his broken rib. She held a small device to the broken rib, and instructed Meyer to sit between the two poles on the instrument. The rib bones will be completely regenerated after this process, she told Meyer. There will be nothing left to indicate that they had been nearly broken. Meyer felt a sudden electrical sensation and then nothing. He knew instantly he was cured because the pain was gone. Semjace was unable to reduce the swelling only because the correct instrument was not available at the time. Meyer's injuries and cure were verified by other witnesses. Incidentally, Meyer has only one arm, having lost one in a bus accident. During one of his contacts, the aliens offered to grow him a new limb. Meyer declined, fearing that people would ask too many questions. 5. The following case is typical of someone cured of injuries as the result of a car accident. In case after case, the ETs show up immediately after the accident and cure the person of their injuries. In some cases, while they cure most of the injuries, some are left unhealed. Case #104. Body injuries. On the evening of February 28, 1984, an anonymous gentleman, age 27, from Farnham, England, was driving his motorcycle when he collided head-on into another vehicle. The man was thrown from his motorcycle into a tree. Before he hit the ground, the man recalled seeing a bright light in the sky above him. When he woke up, he found himself lying on a strange bed, surrounded by three even stranger beings about 4.5 feet tall. The man described the beings as having grey skin, large hairless heads, and eyes with diamond-shaped pupils. The beings stood behind a raised console and told him telepathically that they were going to heal his extensive injuries. At some point, the man lost consciousness. When he woke again, he was in the hospital. His only remaining injury was a broken arm. The case was investigated by English UFO researcher Gordon Milligto of the Surrey Investigation Group on Aerial Phenomena, SIGAP. 6. While there are many cases of healings, many of them are short on details and evidence, such as the following. Case #111. Injury undescribed. On May 9, 1986, a man from Davil, Pennsylvania experienced a missing time encounter with three other family members. At the time of the missing time incident, there was also an unexplained power failure. Following the missing time, the man reports that an injury he had suffered earlier was mysteriously healed. 7. ETs heal a wide variety of people from all across the planet. In this next case, a high-ranking, well-known government official claims to have repeated contact and multiple healings. The case is unusual in that the witness was not only a government official, but also allowed her name to be used. Case #116. Body injuries. From 1975 to 1986, Drive. Rauli Ilayuki Kilda was the chief medical officer of Finnish Lapland in Finland. She was married to Sverre Kilda, a Norwegian diplomat to the United Nations. In August 1986, Layuki had a close-up sighting of a yellow spherical object. That same year, she suffered a horrific accident in which her car was struck by a bus. According to Layuki, an ET appeared at the scene of the accident and began to heal her injuries. The small ET was applying some sort of energy to my body in the area of my liver, says Drive. Layuki. When I got to the hospital, it was determined my liver was damaged. But the aliens had prevented it from hemorrhaging and saved my life. 2 years later, in 1988, Drive. Layuki elected to go under hypnosis and recalled the above account and many others. Following the hypnosis sessions, she began having fully conscious visitations in her home. She left her job and began researching and writing about spiritual enlightenment, life after death, government mind control and conspiracies. She claims to have had hundreds of encounters, and believes that aliens saved her life not once, but at least three times. The first was the car accident. But following that, she had an incident where she fell off her motorbike and was about to be crushed by it when a mysterious force field deflected it. On the third occasion, an elk jumped in front of her speeding car, but she was protected. An invisible force field deflected the elk, says Layuki, and I was able to pass through the force field. Liuki says she has seen at least three different types of ETs, and has had numerous medical examinations. I'm not afraid of these medical exams and I don't mind them, says Liuki. I sense that they are very positive in nature. I realize that I am part of a huge experimental project. In 2015, Liuki succumbed to an aggressive form of cancer. Conspiracy theorists have put forth the possibility that she may have been murdered due to her research in government conspiracies such as mind control and chemistry trails. 8. The following case, personally investigated by the author, is another example of someone who received fatal injuries from a car accident and was brought back to life and cured by the ETs. Again, while they cured most of her injuries, they didn't cure them all. Case #122. Body injuries. Alicia Hansen, not her real name, has been having contacts for many years. In 1987, while in Atlanta, Georgia, she miraculously survived what everyone believed should have been a fatal accident. As it turned out, the accident was fatal and Alicia had literally been brought back to life by her alien contacts. "I was in a really bad car accident," Alicia explains, "very bad. I got hit head on. I was a passenger in the car. I knocked out the side window with my face and then I went face first through the windshield. I had to go to the emergency room and everything. They thought my neck and back were broken. I had to go through physical therapy for a year, learning how to walk again. I had a lot of internal damage done. My jaw was dislocated and all kinds of other stuff." Despite her extensive injuries, the paramedics couldn't understand why Alicia hadn't been hurt more badly, or how she escaped from the accident with her face completely unmarked. Unmarked. All she remembers is waking up to find herself lying in the street. Years later, Alicia discovered the truth of what happened that night. "I was doing a regression one night," Alicia explains, "and I saw that I had actually died in that accident. I didn't have a cut, I didn't have a scratch on my face. I knocked out two windows, and I had not a scratch. And everybody thought that was really weird, but I saw that I broke my neck, and I saw that they were doing surgery on me. They were fixing my brain stem. They were putting me back together. I saw all of that. And my face was just devastated. I saw the brain stem had been broken, damaged, and they repaired that. And my face was really cut and they just whoosh. They fixed it. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. It was just healed. And I didn't have a cut, not a scratch, nothing. They left certain things, but they fixed the most important. And they were also doing something, they said my metabolism was really messed up." Alicia doesn't understand how the aliens were able to heal her before the paramedics even arrived. However, she learned from later experiences that the aliens have the ability to travel in time. During the experience, Alicia also says that there was an exchange of souls to some degree. She says, "I'm kind of hesitant to talk about it because I don't understand it completely yet, but the weird thing about it was when I saw this, and I saw this accident, there was some sort of exchange. Like a higher part of myself changed places with myself." 9. There are many accounts of UFOs being seen during human conflicts. However, there are only a few cases of soldiers being healed of injuries sustained during a war. The following case is a rare example. It's also a good example of how the ET's capacity to heal is near miraculous, but not always perfect. Case #123. Body injuries. In 1987, An anonymous Soviet soldier was fighting with local partisans in Afghanistan when he lost his machine gun and became severely wounded, most severely on his leg. Rather than surrender to the enemy and risk possible torture from the Mujahideen, he decided to commit suicide with a grenade. At that moment he saw a shiny disc-shaped object hover above him. It came lower and projected a beam of light, pulling him inside the craft. The soldier found himself inside a bright circular room. He was no longer in any pain. Strange people appeared and communicated with him telepathically. They placed the soldier on a table surrounded by medical devices. Using these devices, they showed images of his organs on large screens above him. "We can cure all your wounds," said one of the aliens, "but we cannot save your leg, so we must amputate your leg." The soldier asked them why, with all their advanced technology, they couldn't save his leg. They told him it was beyond their capabilities and that if they did not amputate, he would not survive. The soldier blacked out. When he awoke, he was still in the battlefield. When a medical team arrived, they were shocked to find the soldier's leg not only amputated, but almost completely healed. It appeared to them that surgery to amputate the leg must have occurred a year earlier. The soldier said that he had been taken and healed by extraterrestrials. The medical team accused him of delirium and transported him by helicopter to a field hospital. Senior doctors there were amazed and asked the soldier what happened. The soldier repeated his story and was again not believed. Still, the doctors remained baffled. The soldier was discharged. He told his story to a friend, who reported it to investigators, Atalya and Leoid Teretaev. 10. This next healing is another example of aliens showing up immediately following a car accident to cure the victims of some of their injuries, but not all of them. Case #126. Body injuries. According to researcher Ken Pfeiffer, around midnight on March 24, 1988, two friends were driving to their home on Bull Island Road in New Iberia, Louisiana when they lost control of their vehicle and flipped off the road. The driver says, "I was pinned beneath the wheel, with my hand between the wheel and the dash, with three broken ribs and a broken collarbone." The driver's friend, Michelle, broke her nose and was knocked unconscious. The two of them were trapped in the wreck for about 2 or 3 hours until two passers-by spotted them and called an ambulance. The two victims were rushed to the hospital where they learned the extent of their injuries and were nursed back to health. One curious incident puzzled the driver. Before the accident, she was wearing her mother's ring. Afterward, it was missing. Shortly later, the driver spontaneously recalled the reason. Says the driver, "I was somehow taken from my car and into a UFO, and then later placed back into the front seat of the car. My hand had been pinned between the steering wheel and the dash. A 6-foot-tall alien man came and got me out of the car, got me aboard his craft by what mechanism I don't know, and cut the ring off my hand. I never got it back." The ET was described as 6 feet tall, well-shaped, with shoulder-length golden-brown hair. He wore a white outfit with a formal Japanese-looking top, a small collar and long sleeves. The witness believes she was given surgeries to repair her injuries sustained in the car wreck. "They removed some muscle tissue from my right upper arm, from shoulder to beginning of forearm. The cut was only 2 inches healed, without stitches, and left a very light scar. On the inside of the arm, other tissue samples were taken. The marks resulting from this were 3 dots in a line. Finally, a 1-inch cut was made under the chin, which healed a very light, almost invisible scar. 11. A significant portion of the healing reports come from contactees, people who report friendly encounters with human-looking ETs. The contactees of the 1950s were among the first to report interaction with ETs. Some researchers remain skeptical of their accounts, while others support their validity. Although controversial, the accounts of contactees are strikingly similar to abductees in many ways, including being healed. Case #184. Body injuries. In January 1993, Drive. Frankie Strange's, a reverend, drove out of Las Vegas, Nevada in order to rendezvous with ETs out in the desert. Strange's claimed to be in contact with friendly, human-looking extraterrestrials. Strange's often met with an ET named Valiant Thor, who said he was from Venus. On the way to meet Valiant Thor, Strange's was attacked by several men in a large black car. The men physically assaulted Strange's. As he says, "I was thrown to the ground and kicked over and over again." As a result of the assault, Strange sustained numerous bruises and a badly crushed hand. In the middle of the assault, Valiant Thor showed up and rescued Strange from the attackers. Strange was taken inside a UFO where he was treated for his injuries. "As I lay atop the soft white table," Strange said, "I was conscious of the beam of soft blue light that emitted from the cone-shaped instrument, which was aimed first at my head, then at my solar plexus. I immediately went into a deep sleep. Upon awakening, I felt good all over." 12. It appears that ETs are closely monitoring people or have some mechanism for knowing when an injury has occurred. In the following case, a man injured himself with a chainsaw. Not long afterward, aliens came to heal him. Case #186. Broken ribs. In his book, Visitors from Hidden Realms, researcher Brent Reyes presents an apparent UFO healing case involving a man named Ron from Fife, Alabama. In 1993, the town of Fife was garnering national attention for waves of UFO activity, black helicopters, and cattle mutilations. Ron and his family lived in the heart of the activity and spent many evenings watching the UFOs as they moved around the area, sometimes landing or diving into the waters of the Tennessee River. While most of these were just sightings, Ron had learned long ago that aliens were a part of his life. Earlier, in Guitersville, Alabama, Ron and his brother experienced a missing time episode. Following the event, he found two identical fresh pink scars, one on each foot near the Achilles tendon. He also began having vivid dreams about being examined by tall, slender beings. But it was a strange event in 1993 that really got his attention. Writes Reyes, "One day, Ron was using a chainsaw to cut some trees down that were obstructing their view of the river, when a limb flew back and struck him in the chest. As a result, he had two broken ribs. One night, while in the early stages of recovery from this injury, Ron was sleeping in the recliner in the living room. Around 2:00 or 3:00 a.m. he got up to use the bathroom. During this time, he would periodically cough to get mucus and stuff out. He tried to do this and noticed there wasn't any pain. I looked and my shirt was burned," Ron explained. "Right over those two ribs. It just happened to be that my pen was in my pocket right over those two ribs. I pulled my pen out. The plastic was melted and the ribs were healed. I never had another pain out of it." 13. This next case is unusual in that it involves a gentleman who was cured of injuries that occurred 20 years prior. The case also enjoys the distinction of being one of the most recent in this book. Case #290. Body injuries. Around June of 2018, Don, a retired police officer from Cape Cod, Massachusetts, began to see and photograph UFOs flying around his home. Some of the photos show typical UFO craft, others look like orbs with faces and beings inside them. During this intense wave of sightings, Don was totally disabled and had to walk with a cane. 20 years earlier, while on the police force, he was severely injured in a freak accident. His recovery was long and painful and required 12 major surgeries to his neck, hip, groin, both shoulders and more. For a long time, Don was confined to a wheelchair, though he improved to being able to walk with a cane. At one point, doctors over-medicated him and Don collapsed in a full cardiac arrest. He was revived by paramedics, but remained in a coma for a short time before waking up to continue his recovery. Due to the severity of his injuries, Don never completely healed and suffered from chronic pain, forcing him to use a cane to walk. He took thousands of milligrams of pain relievers each day. Then the sightings began. Throughout the summer of 2018, he witnessed and photographed dozens of strange UFOs and orbs. On many occasions, he's had other witnesses with him. While some of the photos show blurry lights, others are quite striking and a few show what appear to be metallic disc-like craft. The most amazing part of the sudden wave of sightings, Don found himself cured. Prior to the sightings, he suffered from the inability to walk freely, chronic pain, diarrhea, nausea and vomiting, all of which would sometimes leave him on the floor begging for Jesus to take his life. Now, Don feels amazing. His health improvements were quick and dramatic. As he says, "I can't explain it, but I'm walking for the first time in 20 years. For the first time in 20 years, I'm not taking massive amounts of medication. For the first time in a long time, I have purpose in my life. All this is happening, as well as the UFOs flying around my house and me. In the last 2 weeks, I'm not only walking without a cane for the first time in 20 years, I went running for the first time in over 20 years. He began to lose his excess weight. His strength and energy returned. His hair started growing back thick and healthy. In a short time, he soon had his rock star hair back. When he went to his doctor for a checkup, she couldn't believe it. She was dumbfounded and actually broke down and wept. Don now has more than 1,000 photos and some video. He continues to photograph the objects. He has drastically reduced his pain medication and shows all signs of a full recovery. 14. The above 14 cases show, once again, the seemingly miraculous healing technology used by ETs. In a few of the cases, the witnesses feel that their lives were not only saved, but that they had died and were brought back to life. While Billy Meyer was told that they could restore his lost limb, the soldier who lost his leg was told that his limb could not be saved. Presumably, this is because we are dealing with different ETs with different levels of technological advancement. Chapter 9, Burns injuries fall into a number of different categories. This chapter focuses solely on cases of people who have been healed of burns. Compared to other types of injuries that are being healed, cures of burns are relatively rare. There are only 5 accounts. Ironically, it is easier to find cases of people who have been burned by a UFO than healed of a burn. The first case is a convincing account of a UFO healing, containing not only the medical evidence, but multiple eyewitnesses and a signed Affidavit from the person who was healed. Case #020. Burn on hand. In early 1954, a wave of sightings in the Mojave Desert of California was attracting groups of flying saucer enthusiasts, including Carl Anderson, his family and friends. They set off in a convoy of three cars to desert hot springs when suddenly a strange force pulled at the lead car, and the convoy began an unexpected 3-mile ride down a dirt road into the desert. The group set up camp for the night. That evening, most of the group woke up to a loud buzzing noise. Once awake, the campers found themselves unable to move. Also, the tents and vehicles in which they were sleeping had become transparent, and looking outside, they saw a 60-foot shiny silver disc complete with portholes landing near their campsite. After about 15 minutes, the disc took off. This was the first of many contacts for the Andersons. On October 2, 1955, Anderson again went out to desert hot springs, accompanied by his wife, Stella, and their friend, Jim Stewart. Again, their car seemed to be controlled by a mysterious force leading them to the proper location for a UFO contact. They set up camp and waited. At around midnight, a huge UFO showed up. Says Anderson, the great craft was now scarcely 200 feet overhead. We could now make out three round ball-like objects, equally spaced on the outer rim of the ship, from which the fluorescent glowing light appeared to emanate. Seeing the craft descend so quickly, Anderson's wife, Stella, panicked and ran toward the car. The craft responded by climbing rapidly. Not wanting the craft to leave, Jim Stewart grabbed a flare, set it on fire and signaled the UFO. The UFO occupants apparently got the message and quickly descended. Unfortunately, Stewart wasn't being careful and received a severe burn on his hand from the flare. Then something amazing happened. Seconds after receiving the burn, the craft emitted a bright colorful glow and disappeared, instantly healing Stewart of his burns. Stewart was so impressed by his experience that he left a signed affidavit, testifying, "This is to certify that I, James R. Stewart, did on or about the second day of October in the year of 1955 witness a huge object hovering above me on the California desert in a remote spot south of Victorville. I also had the uncanny experience of having a severe burn which I had suffered from a burning flare, miraculously healed, as this object changed color. One healings are not always limited to humans. There is at least one case in which a human saw an injured ET heal himself. Case #023. Burn on hand. In 1957 and 1958, Cynthia Aplito of Aston, Birmingham in West Midlands, England, had four separate contacts with an alien entity. The alien was 6 feet tall, had a pale complexion, long blonde hair and elongated facial features. Communicating via telepathy, the alien told Aplito that he was an extraterrestrial, and that open contact with humanity was impossible because of wars. He gave Aplito a large amount of highly technological information. Physical evidence was also left in the form of scorched marks on a newspaper where the alien stood. During one of the contacts in February 1958, the alien accidentally burned his finger. He asked Aplito to bathe his finger in hot water, which she did. The alien then injected himself with a tube and sprayed a jelly-like substance on his hand. The wound healed miraculously. Following the healing event, Aplito found a piece of the alien's skin in the bowl of water. She retrieved the piece of skin and had it analyzed by professionals using an electron microscope at Manchester University. The investigator in charge of the case, Jenny Radles, spoke with the doctor who examined the skin. The doctor showed Radles his report, which stated that the skin was not human skin, but seemed more similar in composition to animal skin. The doctor admitted that he was unable to identify the type of animal, and has declined to go public with his report. During her contacts, the aliens also gave Aplito a method of curing cancer, which will be presented in a later chapter. Two, in many cases, doctors have the opportunity to examine a patient both before and after UFO healing. Almost invariably, they are left baffled and confused. The following controversial Kotaktee case is a good example. Case #055. Burns on body. In 1971, Southern California Kotaktee Drive, Fred Bell and two of his friends were victims of a crude pipe bomb explosion. All three were injured, but Bell was thrown off his feet and onto the sidewalk where he lost consciousness. He was rushed to Laguna Memorial Hospital, in California. When he awakened, he discovered that his left hand, upper left shoulder and neck were badly burned. He also sustained a minor skull fracture and painful bruises all over his body. Bell, however, also claims to be in contact with human-looking extraterrestrials from the Pleiades. The contacts began as a child and continued throughout his life. They have given him life-saving warnings and valuable advice. They also gave him an innocuous-looking necklace called a receptor. Bell was told that it would protect him from harm. While alone in the hospital room, Bell felt the necklace heat up and send marvelous energy into his body. Within minutes, he was completely healed. His friends who were visiting him watched with disbelief. The next morning, Bell enjoyed watching the hospital physicians run a number of tests in an attempt to explain his miraculous cure. One of the doctors told him, "This is impossible. Impossible. You have no trace of the severe burns that damaged your left hand, upper left shoulder, and your neck. There is no longer evidence of a skull fracture. And what with all those bruises, eh? You were covered with bruises. Where did they disappear to?" The doctor, Bell said, was very upset and accused him of faking his injuries. Bell did not tell the doctor about the receptor necklace, which he believes cured him using some unknown energy. On December 24, 1981, Bell demonstrated the proof of his contacts to a number of friends. He had been told telepathically to bring a small group of friends to a certain location near his Laguna home, so that they could witness one of the Pleiadia craft. Shortly after the group arrived, a large metallic saucer appeared, swooped low over the witnesses and sent down a shower of sparks. The craft made three passes overhead, thoroughly convincing the witnesses of the reality of Bell's contacts. 3. The following case, published here for the first time, is the only instance of somebody healed of a sunburn. It's a remarkable account and again shows that the type of person being healed is someone doing good deeds for humanity. In this case, the witness is doing profound teaching work about human spirituality. Case #092.